All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quinn Hughes makes a quick dash down the near side. Takes the puck behind the net, banks it to himself. Out the near side, Hughes shoots, stopped by Quick. Rebound, they score! Brock Besser!
Top down, you, diamond juice, all I see is you. Right now, you, all I want is you. You, tunnel vision, you.
Here's Rattanen, empty net, shotgun!
You wanna boom, 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 put it on me. You're not gonna get it for free. Come on, spend that daddy safety money on me, on me, on me. You got to put up, put up.
A breakaway for the rookie.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation Podcast, presented by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. This is an emergency podcast. We've done a few of these recently, Chris. My name is David Cadrelli. I'm joined, as always, by the man who built the place, Chris Faber. Chris, how's it going on this Monday afternoon? We're recording this 3 minutes after the trade deadline has passed, and Ben Hutton has just been traded to the Toronto Maple Leafs. How's it going, Chris?
Man, I am struggling. For people that don't know, I just tried to do the intro 3 times and messed it up. My head's in a loop, man. There's so much going on. The Canucks obviously traded Adam Gaudette. We're going to get into that. That's kind of the reason for the emergency podcast. But Vasily Podkolzin also just wrapped up his final game in the KHL, so that's some good news. And we'll have to see what comes of that, because we're going to be speaking to Jim Benning in about an hour from now as we're recording this. So it's going to be interesting to see if that comes up in conversation. That'll be the question that I'll ask if we get to that point, and if I'm able to ask a question. Haven't been able to get one in yet to Jim Benning on these Zoom calls, but I got a good feeling about today, so we'll see what happens. But the big one's Adam Gaudette. Adam Gaudette was traded for Matthew Highmore. Highmore has averaged 8 minutes and 50 seconds of ice time through 24 games this season with the Chicago Blackhawks. And Quads, I'll just let you get started. Initial thoughts on the trade here.
Okay, so Matthew Highmore, the player the Canucks are getting back, is a player that the Canucks were interested in as a free agent out of junior. So basically, he played in the QMJHL, put up pretty good numbers, but they're basically picking up a worse version of Zach McEwen. And like, Highmore's 5'11", doesn't fight as much as McEwen, obviously. So they're basically picking up a guy who's going to rotate between the fourth line and the AHL. Now, the ceiling for this guy is obviously to become Tyler Motte 2.0, and I think that's what the Canucks are kind of hoping for here. And, you know, he's $750,000 next year. That's a good contract. It's not going to hurt them. So they're looking to pick up bottom six players that have some upside into becoming, like, actual bottom six players that can actually play. Now, Highmore, I just haven't watched him enough, but from the people I've talked to, like, I'm not going to say I've watched a ton of Highmore in his 8 minutes a game he gets, but the people I've talked to have basically just said, like, yeah, he can't really score, and he can't really defend that well, but maybe a change of scenery helps. That's basically the messaging that's out there. So his ceiling is Tyler Motte, maybe, and then his bottom floor is, like, worse than Reed Boucher. It's just an AHL player. So,
yeah.
25 years old, I don't, you know, not everybody, it seems like not anybody is really high on this trade, because it seems like an instance of buy high, sell low. Like, that's what it feels like with this club right now. And look, Adam Gaudette, if you were going to trade Adam Gaudette, the time to trade him was after he won the Hobey Baker Award. Now, obviously, hindsight's 20/20, and the Canucks were hoping he was going to become more at this stage in his career, but look, it's just, when you look at the underlying metrics, and I know you have a lot of on Gaudette that you like to bring up, you combine that with just the human element. I'm quoting Jim Benning here. You combine that with the human element of him having the stomach problem before this season. And again, like, I talked to him 2 weeks ago about that stomach problem, and he was basically saying, like, I think I'm healthy now. I'm at the point where I could put on weight, but it's difficult to during the season. So he was talking about how this was going to be a big offseason for him, and he was excited to come back a better player. And it's just, I'm sorry, like, if you're going to have that much patience with a guy like Jake Virtanen, who comes in year after year and just looks like he does not want it, and then Gaudette has an actual medical issue that prevents him from putting on weight and training hard in the offseason, and now you're gonna give up on him? It just, you know what? It's just, it's not a good move no matter how you look at it. And honestly, like, I know you think Gaudette's going to be a top six player in Chicago. I'm pumping the brakes on that a bit, but I think at worst, he's a fourth liner who can score and benefit off weaker matchups. Now, Highmore just doesn't have the same offensive capabilities that Gaudette does, and I just think giving up on Gaudette at this stage in his career when, again, the stomach issue, I just talked about it, when he's talked about how this offseason is going to be a big one for him, it just, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, Chris, and I didn't think they'd have to give him a huge pay raise given the year he's had. So honestly, it's not a great trade.
Yeah, I think this is, man, and I don't, like, you know what, best of luck to Highmore. I hope he comes in and does what Tyler Motte did and impresses everyone, because at the time, you know, a lot of people, including myself, were like, what are the Canucks getting here with Tyler Motte when they traded Thomas Vanek for him? So you know, all the best to Highmore. I hope he does make an impact, but man, I don't think that the ceiling is as high for Highmore as what you have from Adam Gaudette, and I don't think the floor is as high as what you get from Adam Gaudette. I mean, you know, Highmore is going to come in. He didn't play a lot of games. He was a healthy scratch this year for the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, I guess Adam Gaudette was as well at times for the Vancouver Canucks, but I just, the floor for Adam Gaudette to me is like, this is a guy who would be a guy who could play on your fourth line as a center and make an impact offensively. Like, that's like the floor for me with Adam Gaudette, somewhere in the higher areas of the ceiling of what he could reach his potential. And we've seen flashes of it so far with him playing on the wing, is I really think that this guy would have been able to score a lot more goals playing in a top six or middle six role as a winger, because he's going to be a player who can score, you know, score a lot of goals. He's got a great shot, does a good job of going to the net, and I haven't seen Highmore, what he's like giving energy every single game. The returns that I hear are pretty high on it, that, you know, this guy's going to bring you a lot of energy. That's good to hear. You always want a guy that's going to hustle, and he's making, I guess, less money than Gaudette this year, and he is paid into next year, I believe, as well on that contract at $700,000, but this is a guy that, I believe Thomas Durant had the tweet, Highmore is not a center, like, not at all, not even close to what Adam Gaudette was, because he's taken four faceoffs. Like, this is a guy who's going to come in and play on the wing. I talked to some people in Chicago, and they said that, you know, he doesn't reel a lot of penalties. He's kind of used as, like, the fifth or sixth guy on the depth charts for forwards, for killing penalties for them, so he doesn't slide in to do it a lot, and I don't see a fit working for this. Like, this just feels like the Canucks lost an asset in Adam Gaudette, who I would have loved to see come back to the Vancouver Canucks on a two-year deal. Something like $1.5 million would have been fine. Like, this guy, it has been one of the best in the NHL at individually creating scoring chances. Obviously, he hasn't got the luck this year, but the combination of what you just talked about with the stomach issues that he's had, the combination of going into an offseason with the awareness of that and coming off a year where he just had horrible luck this year at burying the biscuit, like, man, Adam Gaudette, I have a strong feeling that he's going to come back next season and be a real impact player for the Chicago Blackhawks. And that's unfortunate because the Canucks just gave him up for a guy who, like you said, really has a ceiling of looking like what Tyler Mott can bring, minus maybe the what the penalty killing Tyler Mott brings is. So, the deal is it's a bad deal for me. Again, like, back-to-back now with Benning, we've had the Tanner Pearson contract, which didn't make a lot of sense, and now this one makes even less sense to me, honestly. Like, I get that Tanner Pearson is going to be someone that's going to help the Canucks over the next 3 years. I thought Adam Gaudette was going to be the same thing. I really thought Adam Gaudette was going to be someone who could help this Canucks team over the next few years, and unfortunately, they traded him away for a guy who I would be surprised to see him come in and make an impact immediately with the Vancouver Canucks. I from what I've heard about him, from what I've seen in the stats, from what I've seen from the analytics, I would be surprised to see him come in and have an impact bigger than Adam Gaudette right now and moving forward.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to mention is we talked about how Highmore's not a center. It's just Gaudette wasn't really a center either. You know what I mean? Like, at this point in his career and with the Canucks, he really wasn't being used much at center. And it's just, like, he can't really defend very well. So, you know, you got to be able to defend if you're going to play center. And that's just something Gaudette hasn't shown yet. I think it's just, and I know the only reason I'm saying this is because I know somebody's going to tweet at you and say that, so I just wanted to be the first to say it. But I really think that there was potential there for him to grow into an actual third line center role. It's just they needed to give him some more time. And it felt like with that reasoning that we already outlined, it's just if you're going to give anybody more time, it's a guy like that, is it not? It's not. A guy like Jake, who they've given endless second chances to, it's Gaudette. It's a guy like Gaudette that has a legitimate excuse, like an actual medical issue that prevented him from putting on weight and not being healthy in the offseason. It's just, that's a legitimate excuse in my mind.
Yeah, I really do. I really think that addressing that and finding out for the first time late in the offseason, he found out about it as well. So, like, now getting a full offseason to work through that stomach issue and be more prepared as a pro, like, I just, for anyone that thinks that, like, the Highmore playing center thing, for anyone that thinks that, listen to this. In his 73 games played in the NHL, he's got 73 games in the NHL, he's taken 9 faceoffs. He's taken 9 faceoffs in 73 NHL games. Brock Besser has taken 13 faceoffs this season. Brock Besser has taken more faceoffs this season in 37 games, who Brock Besser is a winger, by the way, than people are thinking that Highmore is going to come in and play center. The dude's taken 9 faceoffs in 73 NHL games with the Chicago Blackhawks. So if anyone thinks he's coming in to play center, they're obviously dead wrong. I don't know. The potential for Gaudette was so much higher. And I really think this is another bad deal. And I don't know where this trade comes from, but to me, it doesn't feel like a hockey trade, honestly. Like, it doesn't feel like this was a hockey trade when you're looking to improve your team. I think there's more behind this story than trading Gaudette for Highmore just straight up. I can't see this being a smart hockey deal. It's impossible for me to see that.
Well, I mean, there's also financial incentive, right? Like, you know, they're going to save money off this, right? And, that's the main thing with Gaudette is that he does have a higher ceiling than Highmore. So it's just, again, you're selling low and buying high. And it's not a recipe for success in any business that you're running. And you're going to have to wait and see what happens. Obviously, you know, we hope Highmore comes in and lights the lamp and is this great fourth line player and is Tyler Mott 2.0, because how great would that be to have another one of those on this club? But that just doesn't seem like it's going to be the case. You know what I mean? And, you know, hindsight's 2020, but if you're gonna move from Gaudette, there was much better times to do it. Like, much, much better times to do it. And I don't really agree with the whole notion that they traded him because he was patient zero for the Canucks with COVID. It's just, anybody could have caught COVID. Like, look how high our numbers are right now. And I know we don't want to get into COVID talk, Chris, but I just wanted to point that out, that I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, Gaudette's a guy who's going to help on your power play unit. We saw it last year, what he was able to do on the second power play unit, how most of, I think it was like 90-something percent It was in the 90% of how many goals on the second power play unit were scored when Adam Gaudette was put on there. Because remember last season, he wasn't starting the season on the second power play unit. Like, he's good enough to be able to contribute on a second power play unit in the NHL. He might be able to do that with Chicago. I hope that he is. I hope for a lot of success with this guy. You know, obviously, I think a lot of people have seen, like, I've really enjoyed dealing with Adam Gaudette in the media. I think he's, what he did this offseason, engaging with fans and bringing his Twitch stream and, you know, doing something different that we don't see from a lot of NHL players. I love having that type of personality, you know, to cover from the media anyways. Like, Adam Gaudette's been great to deal with. Obviously, I had the conversation with him and his wife, Michaela, earlier in the year. That was a lot of fun, putting that article together and just kind of exploring why they wanted to engage with fans more. And, you know, they liked this market. You know, they were starting to, you know, chirp back a little bit on Canucks Twitter, which was great to see. I mean, we just don't see that often, and I think this is a huge loss, not only for the player, but the person, because everything that I've had with my dealings with Adam Gaudette have just been amazing. I think that he, you know, I wish him a lot of success moving forward, and I think he's going to have that in Chicago on a team that, you know, might end up using him at center, might end up using him on the wing, but either way, I think he's going to have a lot of success when he gets there. And I just, if you were going to trade Adam Gaudette, like, I would have thought that the return would have been different, right? And I think this is what you're talking about a lot of buying high and selling low. Like, it doesn't make sense right now that this is a good hockey move at initial look at it. And obviously, we're going to have to see what Highmore can do in a Canucks jersey, but, you know, is he just going to be Jace Howerluck? Right? Like, maybe a little bit better, like, just a little bit better than Jace Howerluck. But, like, I that's the thing with players coming to the Vancouver Canucks over the past, whatever, it feels like all of Jim Benning's tenure. Like, when Jim goes out and acquires someone like this, they're about to get, like, the best shot of their professional hockey careers, right? Like, Highmore is probably going to come in and, but, like, potentially play on Horvat's line. Like, that's just the way that things work in Vancouver, right? Like, we've seen it with VC. Boyd was getting time on second power play unit when they were about to start up. Like, I don't know. I could see Highmore just coming right in and getting an opportunity. And this is probably a great spot to be in. This is a great thing for a guy like Matthew Highmore. But for me as an organization of covering the Vancouver Canucks, I don't see how this works out in the long run to be a good deal. I can't find a path to go down to get to that conclusion. I just feel like this is a lose-lose-lose trade to me.
Well, I think you and I are both betting on Gaudette's upside, and we're both betting on him having a strong offseason, right? I think that's where, make no mistake about it, if Gaudette doesn't have that big offseason and what he's playing at right now is his ceiling, then yeah, maybe the trade works better for the Canucks. And Highmore, you know, again, Highmore would have to hit his ceiling for it to work out for the Canucks, but it's just, it doesn't seem like a great hockey trade at this point in time. And man, I'm sorry, but at some point, you got to start trading for draft picks. And Jordy Benn's name was floated out there a lot. It's 12-18, and the last deals are just trickling in right now as I say this. But it doesn't look at this time like the Canucks are going to move Jordy Benn. And man, you look, Mike Riley went for a third, Chris. Like, Jordy Benn could have got you a third, at least. And it's just a shame that they didn't make any deals. And honestly, I don't want to hear anybody say, oh, well, Jim wasn't trading anybody because the human element, because that's the quote he gave. He said, yeah, I don't think we're going to do much at the deadline. The human element is what these guys are dealing with. And then he just, you know, trades Gaudette and uproots his life. But it's just, I don't want to hear that, basically, is what I'm saying. I don't want to hear that from anybody, because I don't care if Gaudette was the first to recover. That doesn't mean that you're the first to go. You know what I mean? It's just that if you're going to give that quote and say you're worried about the human element, and then people were saying, oh, well, if they don't make any trades, that's fine, because he's worried about the human element and not moving anybody during a pandemic. Well, now they got to move to Chicago. So I'm just saying, like, don't carry that into this conversation. That's all I'm going to say on that.
This is going to be really interesting, because we're about 40 minutes away from it now when we're going to hear what Jim Benning has to say about the player that Highmore is. Obviously, I think iMac was the one who tweeted this out, so shout out to iMac, about that the Canucks were interested in Highmore when he was coming off of his junior 20-year-old season and they wanted to sign him out of free agency. Like, I could have told you that without even, like, knowing that as a fact. Like, this is the player that Jim Benning would have gone out and got. Like, oh man, we couldn't get him in free agency 4 or 5 years ago. You know, now's the time to get him. Now's the time to get him. It's a good trade. We're gonna, you know, take this player right off the Blackhawks. He's gonna be a huge impact player. And man, I sure as hell hope he does. I hope that Jim Benning's a lot smarter at pro scouting than I think. And I think that they've actually made an improvement over the past couple of years at doing this, kind of starting with the Tyler Motte acquisition. And maybe this is just a great eye for scouting. Maybe this guy is going to be a pro and be an impact player in a similar way to Tyler Motte. And now you're going to have a fourth line with Tyler Motte and Matthew Highmore moving forward, who come out there and bring a ton of energy. And it's just exciting to see what these guys are able to do. But I don't think that it was a good idea to sell Gaudette at the point that he's at right now. That's kind of my conclusion on the trade, is just everything that we've kind of talked about and the things that you've mentioned earlier on in this podcast. There's still so much potential to Adam Gaudette's game. Like, there's still a lot of potential for him to be an NHL player, and I really think he was going to start finding it, you know, this at the end of this season and moving into next year. Like, he had horribly bad PDO numbers, on ice shooting percentage, everything that added up, just looking at it, was setting up perfectly for him to come in next season and have a bounce back year. And I don't think that's going to change. I think he's going to go into the offseason. I think he's going to work his ass off like he always does. And I think he's going to put on the extra weight, come back, and be prepared to be an NHL player and be a better NHL player. And now, with the motivation of being traded by the team that drafted you, I think we're going to be talking about Adam Gaudette next year and being like, wow, look at how many goals he has in the first 14 games of the season. Like, we're going to get to that point next year at some time in November and be like, wow, look at Adam Gaudette. Like, nice start for him down in Chicago. Like, I already know that's exactly what's going to happen, and I'll be curious to see what Highmore's doing at that point. You know, when Gaudette's got, you know, 7 goals in 12 to 14 games, like, what's Highmore doing in the middle part of November next year? So
Jordy Benn just got traded to Winnipeg as we were doing this.
Okay. Yeah. As we're recording. Good to find out. Did any return on that yet? We'll just do this live here.
You keep talking. I'm going to start sending some texts.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, Friedman's got it out there right now. Jordy Benn to Winnipeg. Well, you know what? Like, we're about to find out live here. But, like, do you think it could be? Do you think it could be a draft pick, Quads, or do you think we're getting another player here from Winnipeg?
No, there's
like, honestly,
no way.
Honestly, right?
There's no way it's gonna be a player. There's no way. Like, that would be. There's no way. There's no
okay,
way.
Before we get the news here, what's a draft pick that you'd be happy with? Like, what's a really good deal here for Ben?
Third
for
is great. A third is great. I think a fifth is
a good deal here.
Yeah, a fourth or a fifth is fine too. Yeah. Just, you know, it's just listen, it's just you can really kind of see what they're trying to do here when they're offloading. Like, you know, this opens the door for a guy like Jack Rathbone to get a look at him. Like, this season doesn't mean anything now, so let's get let the young guys get some games in. I even think a guy like Mikey DiPietro might be getting some games in down the stretch here. Just, like, I think if you're going to get some starts for him, I think now's the time to do it, right? It's just, you have these games that don't really mean much, and you have to play a lot. Let your goaltenders rest. Give Mikey DiPietro a shot.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. I think that the Canucks need to lean into that. I mean, getting as many different players into the lineup as possible is something that they're not only going to need to do because of this team recovering from COVID and being thrown back onto the ice as what looks like to be Friday for this team. And they're going to have to give these young guys a chance. I think they're going to have to get guys up from Utica, including Rathbone, potentially Gadjevich after his start to the year. We're obviously going to see Cole Lind at some point. I think very soon. I think Cole Lind might play on Friday, to be 100% honest. Haven't exactly heard that from him, but it sounds like he's getting close to the team. So, we're just gonna have to, like, wait for this
sixth round
what
pick
the deal.
Sixth round sixth. Pick.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. That's fine with me. I mean,
I can't believe,
you know,
2 minutes ago I was saying a third. Cause, okay, if Mike Riley goes for a third, like, is Mike Riley that much better than Jordy Benn? I don't think so.
I don't know.
All right,
man.
Well,
what a day for Benning. Benning's about to address the media in 35 minutes now.
Oh, man. Okay, well, you know
what is going to happen here? So a sixth round pick for Jordy Benn. You know what? They added a pick for Jordy Benn,
yep,
who they're not going to get after this year. That's fine. Adding another sixth round pick, I mean, that's good. The Canucks just drafted a sixth round pick in Dmitry Zolotiev at the last draft, who's looked very impressive. So now there's another shot that you can take on a guy like that with a high ceiling. So adding a sixth round pick is good for Jordy Benn. That's fine.
Yeah.
I just,
and
you know, I wasn't expecting to see a third or a fourth or a fifth, or really, I mean, I said that would be a good deal. I wasn't expecting a good deal. I was more expecting a seventh or a sixth, and I guess I'm happy to hear that it was a sixth. That's good to hear that they added a sixth round pick.
Madison Bowie to Vancouver. What the hell? This is insane. And a 2021 fifth from Chicago for a 2021 fourth. Holy smokes. Okay, Chris, we've got to break this down. This emergency podcast. Oh my gosh, this is hilarious. Okay, so Madison Bowie, I'm told, and I'm only told this from a while back because I was looking at him as an option. He's not a great defenseman. He's like a 6'7", but he has some upside. Like, he could become something, and that's more upside than Jordy Ben has. So, okay. Yeah, Madison Bowie. Interesting. Interesting pickup for this club. And a fourth, it looks like. Or, sorry, and a fifth. Yes.
Okay, so they traded down a year?
So Bowie. Okay, Bowie and a fifth for a 2021 fourth rounder. So it's basically they just traded down a bit and picked up a defenseman.
So Bowie's a 25-year-old. He turns 26, actually, like today.
Happy birthday, Madison Bowie.
Or tomorrow. Sorry, on the 10th. On the 10th. Or in 10 days. I'm completely messing this up. April 22nd, he'll turn 26 years old. He's got two games this year for Chicago.
Yeah, right-handed shot.
All right. I mean, he's going to come in and play.
Yeah, he's going to play. I don't hate that trade. It's a right-handed shot defenseman with some upside, 6'2". Just let him, you're not upset by it because it's not like they traded Adam Gaudette for Madison Bowie. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what happened here. But look at it
this way.
They
moved down in the draft one round, right? One round down.
Look at it this way. Look at the entire deal that was done with Chicago today. Because, yeah, maybe these are two separate deals quite clearly. But if you look at it all in total, you know, they gave up Adam Gaudette and a fourth for Madison Bowie, Matthew Highmore, and a fifth. That return sounds a lot less worse than Adam Gaudette for Matthew Highmore straight up. So I'll just say that.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound good in total.
No, it doesn't.
Still. Like, it still doesn't sound good as the total deal there. So,
yeah.
And even looking at what they gave up in Ben for a sixth, I mean, so what they've added today is a sixth round pick. They've moved down 1 year in the draft, and they added Highmore and Bowie.
Yeah.
Man. Wow. So a busy little spurt there at the end. I wonder if the Canucks are done at this point. Yeah. I don't know what to say, honestly, from the whole thing with Gaudette. It's throwing me through a loop here. And I mean, I'm excited to see what Bowie can do in a Canucks lineup. That's great. He played in Kelowna, right?
I have no clue. I'm tweeting.
Okay, yes. Yeah, he played for the Rockets, second round pick in 2013 from Winnipeg. So yeah, we'll see what he can do. You know, 6'2". Haven't obviously watched him a ton, so I can't break down his game. I don't want to. Have to do some looking into his advanced stats as well. But wow, a little bit of a busy run there at the end for the Vancouver Canucks. I think I didn't really expect that to be the case here, to be 100% honest, Quads.
No, me neither. This was the Adam Gaudette show, but now it's become the Madison Bowie show, the Bow show. You should close this out. I don't think there's anything else coming.
No, we'll close this out with Vasily Podkolzin getting eliminated from the playoffs today. Covered my last SKA game, Quads. My last game. I'm excited to not wake up for these early games anymore. We'll be excited to watch Zlodiev next year in the KHL, but it's nice to have the Podkolzin situation behind me, I think. And that's going to be interesting to see if Jim Benning wants to get that going right now, right? Like, do you think that he wants to get Podkolzin out of that deal? I think that could be something that he might actually talk about today in the press conference to kind of bring a positive note to them. And a lot of people look at that as a positive, getting Podkolzin here right now and seeing what he can do for the rest of this season. But, you know, that does take a year off the entry-level contract as well moving into next season. So that's something to discuss as we moving forward. And we'll hear from Benning talk in about 30 minutes time right now. So we'll wrap things up. Quads, anything else you want to add before I close this out?
No, fun episode, Chris. Fun emergency episode.
Yeah, some live trades coming down the pipe. Man, I wish we had on the radio, you know, maybe have a text line, some phone calls right now. It would have been good. But we'll wrap things up there for an emergency podcast. I'll get to editing and throw this thing out right now. We're still going to do another midweek episode this week. I think we'll break down everything in the midweek episode, maybe on Wednesday instead. Maybe we'll bump it a day again. We'll talk on Wednesday for a midweek episode and be back for a Saturday show as well. So we'll wrap things up here on the emergency podcast. For David Quadrelli, my name is Chris Faber, and thank you very much for tuning in to an emergency podcast of the Canucks Conversation.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.